Galaxy Pod, but we're podding soon after because we got a lot to talk about. Thanks for joining us, Champs Chats. Day 9, brought to you by Tracksmith. Tracksmith has been supporting the stories that we have been telling here, boots on the ground in Eugene, all week. They're storytellers themselves. We want to thank them for supporting us. You only have now, I guess, one day left to use code WORLDS for 20% off and all Tracksmith gear. Check their stuff out. We're repping. We're looking good. You can too. Also, when you're done listening to Champs Chats, check out the Legacy of Speed podcast with our dear friend Malcolm Gladwell, who we were fortunate enough to speak with on a couple occasions this week.
I feel like he was around everywhere.
Yeah, you know, diehard track fan. And so he tells a story of the behind-the-scenes 1968 Olympics with the fist raised high on the stand. But today we have some medal ceremonies of our own that we had here. Do you want to start with good news or bad news?
Good news.
Let's start with the good news.
You want to start hot?
Look at this positive team we had. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, let's women's 4x1. Caitlin, you made this call. So go
you
ahead.
Called it. Very what a hot take.
That way I can just dig in. So come on.
Because Jasmine was like, well, Jamaica swept the women. Like,
women's
there
100.
You go. Like,
women's 100.
They swept the women's 100. So, like, it makes sense. And I'm like, dude, Melissa, Abby, TT, and I mean, I don't know Jenna very well, but those are my girls. Like, you know, it's always Wildcats every day. I'm always screaming for Melissa. I think me and TT are, like, kind of, like, friends now and stuff. So why would I not choose USA? Like, come on now. And I knew they had the potential to do it. Melissa has been an absolute superstar all year. Abby, I knew she was probably mad because she got fifth and she should have been on that podium. And then, you know, as Jasmine's been saying all week, Jenna's the veteran. Like, she's just going to make it happen. And TT has been waiting for this moment for a very long time. So I'm like, hey, you get them handoffs right. You already got the speed. You can put up something. And yes, it was close. Any small thing could have changed everything around, but hey, they still came across the line first. So
let's start at the beginning. When you saw the lineup, and Aaliyah Hobbs is not
Can
on
I say
it.
Something?
Yeah, because go for
say it.
I'm so sorry, but when I made this call, I didn't know Abby was running on the 4x1 either. Like,
okay, so
I didn't find out.
When did you find out?
When she walked out, and I'm like, wait, we don't see Aaliyah. And then she's like, oh, that's Abby. Like, we did our hot take when we got to the track, so it was well
Jess
before the 4x1.
Defending herself here on her team.
But no. I'm just going to, like, I have to throw it out there, because had I known Abby, I probably would have changed my wording and said it's up in the air between Jamaica and America and did the explanation of it depends on how their handoffs go.
All right, so this is, I think, always an interesting thing in the relays, and we're going to talk about on the men as well. Did the U.S. win or did Jamaica lose?
No, the U.S. definitely. No, you know what? No, let me say this.
We're going to do it for the men as
well.
Let me
say this. We'll do this for the men.
She's like,
my opinion on this is Jamaica lost. And I will say this because Dana, who was it that had, Dana, you brought up the splits, right?
Yeah, I can give you the splits here. We'll do so both back to back.
We'll go through the splits. In my opinion, Jamaica really did. They lost this. And I did vote for Team Jamaica. I was hoping for a world record. Like I said, they swept that women's 100. It was their race to lose, to be honest. It would have been very close, but it was definitely their race to lose. First leg.
All right, we're going to go leg by leg because I kind of like this my analysis for this race. So leading off for the U.S. was Melissa. And who was leading off for Jamaica?
Kemba.
Kemba.
So
11.35 to 11.45. Tight.
You had two college kids, right? You've got the two college girls battling it out on the first leg. I think that Team Jamaica kind of, honestly, with who they have, that was the smartest person to put on their first leg. So, yeah, that I don't know. Both their legs, they did great. Now let's take it on to the second leg because this
right.
is where I got a lot to say.
Miss Abby Steiner, Miss, how many races have you done? I'm not sure. 9.86 to 10.10. 9.86 leg two.
Fred Curley is lucky. that she was not in that.
Can we get
a,
like,
final.
A Fred Curley Abby Steiner race right quick?
Yeah.
Do you guys understand how fast that is? And this is why
I don't
you...
understand the longest leg thing. So I want to start there.
Okay. So the 200 is the longest leg. You can make that. I want to say
leg.
You can. Second leg. Second leg is the farthest leg. I want to say you could stretch that out to 115 meters or somewhere about there. I'm sure a coach will correct me. 120 meters for the second leg. This is why you put your best 200 runner at second leg, because they run the farthest. They're great at it. You just do it. My issue when we come to this for Team Jamaica is we saw how Elaine ran the 200. She wasn't their strongest 200 runner. I'm sure that's just what they might have been comfortable with. I'm sure they had a better explanation. But in my opinion, I would have put Sharika at third leg, because that girl is killing the 200. She runs a very strong 200. I would have put her at second. I would have put Elaine at anchor. And let's continue on.
Well, at first I want to get, you know, Caitlin's take on Abby at second, because that's your girl.
Abby been at second all year. So that, I mean... I said this before, Aaliyah and Abby are very, very good athletes. I had no issue with the switch. And like I said, Abby's been at leg two all year. So no problems.
That was her leg for sure.
All right, leg three. The U.S. goes 10.05 for Jenna. And Jamaica goes 9.97.
Did y'all watch Jenna kill that third leg? Okay, I done said it before. I got a little bit of backlash because I said that Jenna is like our new Allison, where Allison, she solidified herself at second leg. She was a veteran at second leg. Jenna has done that. She's proven herself time and time again. That veteran move in that moment during the prelim, where she made sure that baton was passed, is what really solidified it for me. Jenna murdered it. What were the
She's splits? So smooth. I mean, it's by having someone like Jenna, who you know you can rely on to get it around, you take out two out of the three handoffs you'd be worried about, right?
Yes.
Like, immediately, because you know she can receive it and you know she can give.
Yes. Shelly also ate the hell out of that curve, too. I can't.
Yeah, 9.97 for Shelly, 10.05. And I think this is interesting. It also shares a split. So at that point, the U.S. was 31.26 and Jamaica was 31.52. So
when it comes to that as well, I'm pretty sure Jenna's split might be a little bit, not even slower, compared to Shelly's, because what I would think is that Team USA decided to stretch Jenna's leg out as long as they could as well, because she also is a 200 runner and she's running on the curb before she hands off to TT.
And TT split a 9.88.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
And Jamaica had a 9.66.
Woo!
Daryl,
I mean,
Nieta.
The 9.66 is not surprising. Huh?
Did you see Nieta? 9.57.
No. Whoa!
For GB.
What?
Fastest yeah, nine, of the day. 9.57.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I said 9.57.
And I need you to repeat that one more time.
9.57.
He's.
What?
It's right here. Yeah. It's right here.
Are you sure?
9.57.
Goodbye. Bye.
That's
superhuman.
Moving.
Superhuman.
That is.
So, TT, such a good celebration.
Yes.
Like. The motorcycle, she was fired up. The crowd went wild. USA chants breaking out. I felt like a real patriot in that moment.
Oh, yeah. Our section was getting busy. It was this one dude. He was like kind of diagonal from us. He turned around, looked straight at us. He said, USA. I'm like, yeah, let's get started.
We're there.
We
got you.
Going. It was crazy.
And we had three, you know, rookies to the World Championship 4x1. And Jenna the vet. So
you know what's funny?
Young team.
I think this is absolutely hilarious, because in 2015, when Jenna got her first medal relay, it was three rookies and the vet. Three Ducks and Allison. And so now Jenna's kind of taking on that role. And
Duck, goat.
Yes. I'm glad you changed that, because I had posted a while ago three ducks and a Trojan. And someone was like, ooh, that doesn't sound too good. And I was like, ah, so let's go duck, goat.
So is this like making up for the 100 in any way? You know, we got
absolutely
swept out of the 100.
Absolutely. That was a double stuffed Oreo that they put together.
Yeah. Repeat it again,
Jasmine. That was a double stuffed Oreo, because what we talked about was the diversity of that woman's 4x1. Like, I know we don't like to talk about race, but you had two women of color, two white women, two. This is why I call it a double stuffed Oreo. Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah. But
I just want to be clear. That was Jasmine Todd saying that and not Kyle Merber.
That definitely
just in case
like
you get our voices confused, that was Jasmine's thing.
So when we were in the stands, I was like, yes to the double stuffed Oreo. I love the diversity. I thought it was amazing. I'm so proud of those girls. They definitely made
you and RG3 definitely been hanging out together, because that's definitely some shit you would say.
Shout out to RG3, whatever camera I'm looking in. Shout out to you. Bro. But no, they really held it together. They showed the talent. I know a lot of people were so like disappointed about the Women's 100 for Team USA, but they came back, and if there was any way to make Americans prouder, there was no better way.
And I think something else that we should touch on, because me and Jasmine got to interview the amazing and awesome Tiana Bartoletta on our Out the Blocks podcast earlier today.
Plug,
you know. And we was talking to her about the 4x1. You know, it's 4x1 day finals. She's on the world record team. Like what you looking at? What are we seeing? And she's like, you know, first time we did that, we was not faster on paper than Jamaica. Like, all of them were faster. Like, in terms of individual and adding it up, they were nowhere near like where Jamaica was. But it was about clean handoffs, team chemistry, and just putting something together that could take on anything and anyone, no matter what, you know, the numbers say on paper.
I think, and maybe this is more of a question, but you're looking at this team, and obviously Jenna is, you know, she's the veteran who's done this a lot, and she's excellent. She should be on every 4x1 forever. But the other three are fresh out of college.
Yeah.
And very good veterans of relays. How many relays did they already run this year between them? So in the future, when looking at putting teams together, should we really be looking less to the veterans or just the fastest individuals and look more to those in college who already have done 6+ 4x1s this year?
I mean, you could definitely take that into consideration, but that shouldn't be like the only thing. But like you were saying earlier, like, it should not just be based on like who's the fastest, because as we saw, like, unfortunately throughout this particular championship, Jenna did not make the podium. She wasn't faster than nobody. Like, she was just there. But
she was faster than some people. It's not, she wasn't faster than nobody. Okay.
Didn't mean that to be rude.
don't offend the duck.
Sorry.
Relax.
You know what? No, you can finish it.
Wait. Okay. I do want to answer that, because I actually talked to Tiana about this as well. Because I asked Tiana, I said, do you think that it would be better for, we just have so much depth in the 100, right? So Jamaica runs with the same relay over and over and over again. They kind of trickle in with new people and they kind of fit them into theirs. It's like a puzzle piece. For us, we just got so much depth. And so I asked her, I said, do you think that we should just have a relay pool and stick to that relay pool? Or do we keep it open to whoever's the fastest? And that's one of the things that she did talk about, where let's just keep it open. But the biggest thing is having relay knowledge. It doesn't matter. Like, it does matter how fast you are, but the biggest thing is having relay knowledge. And that is what those college girls definitely had.
I know we said it was Team Jamaica's, you know, loss of today, but I do want to note the class and grace of Miss Shelly Ann Fraser-Price. You know, talk about a true veteran in the relay. You know, Team USA is having their celebration, and the first person to go over them is Shelly Ann. And she comes over and, you know, gives them a hug. Elaine Thompson Hurrah comes over. Conveniently, the city's team was right behind them trying to get some TV time, so we noticed the embrace. What does it say that, you know, I think, to rephrase that, I think this championship has made me fall in love with Shelly Ann Fraser-Price.
I would love to meet Shelly Ann. She's so cool.
We would love
that,
wouldn't we?
She'd be really fun.
It'd
be so cool.
But I'd even love her.
It'd be so cool to meet her.
But no, honestly, Shelly Ann has always been a sweetheart. The thing is Shelly has always been like that. After every relay, I think she just truly, although she's great, she really just enjoys the sport. She loves her competitors. I don't think that Shelly has really been the type of athlete to have beef with many people. And if she does, she holds that composure, and she's great.
Her video with Dina Asher-Smith was amazing,
yes,
too. I know we already called that
come
out.
Over girl. Here. Come where girl. Are your parents from? Jamaica? You're Jamaican. Jamaican sweeps. You claim her, Shelly. Come on.
So I tweeted Jamaica top three in the 100. USA top four.
Yes.
In the four, four by 100 final.
I mean.
And so obviously just having fun or whatnot, but man, did I set myself up for the slam dunk, the alley-oop to the Canadians.
Oh, man.
Because what transpired immediately after I hit send on that
You can't
tweet,
even celebrate. Man. Oh, so,
I'm
Andre
getting
DeGrasse.
Roasted right now up north.
You know, as they should. Andre DeGrasse, but untested, true. So he actually represents, his agent is Kenny Benaric's agent. So we got a little inside scoop in the back alley while you guys were on the podcast. I was talking to the agent and the
side. Do tell.
Huh?
Don't give away too many secrets.
No. And,
don't get us shut down.
You know, someone, he was kind of asked like, oh, Andre DeGrasse. And he's like, you know, he hasn't had the smoothest lead up to this. He's saving for the relay, wants to do something special on the relay with the team. And he proved that. You proved that. Well, and I think like saving yourself for the relay, I'd love to hear, Jasmine, your perspective of if you're not 100% leading into a competition and you have a team element to it, is that something that's typically done?
Yes. There's just something about being on a team. I think you guys can speak to us about being on like DMRs too. It just brings a whole different
They don't
feel.
Save distance runners for DMRs. They throw you in after like the end of the day.
Well, let me say, they did phenomenal with Andre. I think he also had a great team along with him. He also has Aaron Brown, who's been running extremely well this year. And so to see him bring that home and hold off Marvin, which that's an incredible feat, even granted like USA's handoffs. Shout out to Andre. I was so proud to see them. I figured that they'd be in the top three. Did I think they were going to win? Honestly, no, but that team pulled it together. Andre held it together, and what a way to kind of have your season unfold.
So asking again, did the Canadians win or did the U.S. lose? And I saw Marvin, who is a super good friend of mine now, tweeted, not being clean cost us the race. No excuses. We let y'all down. My apologies.
1,000%.
I unfortunately do think that they lost because, I mean, Jasmine said their handoffs were kind of slow yesterday. But, like, from a technical standpoint, I thought they looked fine. And everyone on Twitter was like, yo, like, we actually have a chance. Like, they look good. They've never looked this smooth. Like, let's make it happen. And so the fact that they were on the ups yesterday but then didn't quite really put it together today, kind of, yeah, they lost.
Well, the first handoff, it was really the last handoff, but the first handoff is well. So Christian Coleman to Noah Lyles.
They messed up.
Took a while. It's, you know, they were in the almost the down. End of the exchange zone. Yes. It was, you know, I was nervous. I was like, okay, I can't really see that far away, but they're moving along. You see the little dots and you're like, okay, they're on to the next one. And that one looked a little suspect, but it was really the replay where we saw the bobble.
Did Noah just not go soon enough? Was Christian coming in faster than he thought? And so then he like ran into his back.
I do think Noah may have taken off a little too late. Watching that, I already kind of figured we might be in a little bit of a bunch just because that baton really did slow down. In my eyes, as a relay person, the baton slowed down. And when I said slow, I don't mean like they ran slow yesterday, but they weren't running balls to the wall during their prelims. So everything was technically sound. So it was a lot smoother to get through. Today, they were going for it. And so I think in the midst of that, just running through and getting there, I think Christian probably just came in a little hotter than Noah might have anticipated. And even then, that just might have just meant the steps might have just been off. It might not have even been Noah's fault.
I got the splits, too. So we had 10:35 for Team USA. Canada was 10:45 at that point. And then for leg two, Canada was 9:31 to us 19. Whoa, what am I looking at here? Oh, here we go. I'm looking at the wrong thing. 8. I was like, 19. That's not right. 8.86 to 8.94. And then leg three was 9.38 to 9.31, and then we had our final of 8.79 to 8.95.
Well, it was tight, and like that, Noah made it up, and then Elijah did a solid third leg, but then that final handoff, like
final
we
handoff.
Were very much in it
going
into, and like Marvin is probably in better shape than Andre. I saw the men's 100 championships, but what happened on that final handoff?
I think despite, like, you know, that handoff being shaky, if they didn't like trip over each other. Yeah. Because the race was really, really close. So it was any small, like little thing could have like switched it. So if, despite, you know, the rest of the handoffs being like, ah, you need to fix that, like we would have won, but it's literally the fact that they tripped over each other.
Canada was at leg three was 28.69 and Team USA was 28.60.
So we were ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to put that pressure on them. I think that was a team effort. I got to say it was both those handoffs. I'm not going to blame it on the stumbling. I do think the stumbling definitely played a big cost in missing out on that gold. But between both those handoffs, slowing down the baton is what kind of cost it overall.
Spin zone. We still got a medal this time. Like, we finished the race.
Silver medal. Medal.
We made the final.
I think that's bright for our future in the 4x1. We're going to see these guys over and over and over again. As long as all of them stay healthy, we are going to see them. They're going to get better. I think a world record could be on the line with these guys. I'm so proud of them for getting a medal, getting the stick like around the track. They have been very, very dedicated to this relay. Their minds were set. And with that focus and with all of them running as fast as they are, I think there's so much more to come from them, and they know it.
They have a chip on their shoulder. Yes. They really want this. They know how much chit-chat there's been about the Team USA men's sprints, the relays. And I think that this, you know, we've been calling this a home meet. This is a home meet, and it's really felt like it.
Yes.
And I think today was kind of a little, like, wake-up call. Like, no, these are the best people in the world. You don't just get to win the relay because you're the home team. And I think we kind of still thought that a little bit.
Yeah.
Moving on to the 5K.
Ooh, man. Drama. Ooh,
that's sad.
You got sad?
That race made me so sad.
Why?
Because I
for
was
Team USA?
She wasn't even.
Who were you rooting for?
Why were you sad?
Safon, bro, because she missed out on the podium. And so I'm sitting here watching like,
Galen,
bro,
this is a rogue take. You're sad for Safon?
But I tell you, she was really cheering for us so hard.
Wait, do
stand.
I not know?
No, it's just, I don't know. I didn't know. Are you guys?
You're emotionally attached.
She is very emotionally attached.
Year's Olympics. You were, you've become a Safon fan.
Oh, yeah, because she missed out on like the podium by one spot in the other race. And so I'm like, dude, like, don't let it happen again. Yeah. And she was scaring me for like the first half of the race because she was literally chilling at the back. I thought she was gonna fall into like that back island or like make it
back island.
Oh, she's okay.
Keep going. You got this.
Can we just explain the island chase really quick?
Yes.
So it's not like a literal island. You know when like the groups the start breaking up? Yes, the backpack is what she's calling islands. Continue.
That I like that terminology.
It's the isolation island.
Yeah.
I thought she was either gonna be in the chase pack or like floating like in the middle, like by herself. And then like she eventually caught up with the front pack and I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm still concerned, but I'm a little concerned. And then she started doing her thing and I was like, all right, no, we should be fine. So then she does her last lap, last 200, and she's like going for it. She's like balls to the walls, like, let's make it to the finish line. And then she just gets gobbled up and I'm like, dude, is rooting for you so hard, but it's fine because considering the fact that she doesn't have that many races under her belt, like, you know, this is absolutely like monumental for her. I think it's spectacular. I was just so sad because I'm like, you almost had it, and then the rest of them just.
Well, it started out super chill,
very like, tactical. It was a 240 through 800.
But then when they picked it up, it was aggressively picking it up, and you saw the Ethiopians, Sege and Gede, talking like they were legitimately.
Like,
you know,
are you gonna
having
go?
A conversation of, yeah, trading off. And when they decided to go, they really, you know, started pushing. And that's when, you know, the pack really started to open up. And you saw a few athletes immediately make the decision that they weren't going to go with it. And then the Americans just, you know, did their absolute best to try to hold on as long as possible. Unfortunately, Emily Infeld, you know, I think making the final here was really exceptional.
I talked to Emily, you know, just over the course of this, and to her, that USA qualifier, you know, she did the 10K to try to make the 10K. That took a lot of at her. She did the 5K, and she said this has been the healthiest season she's had in a really, really long time. And I think that there still is a slight gap in that fitness to get to the world stage. And that comes from, you know, a Nick Willis statement, you know, just is that you need to have like 2 years interrupted training to truly be your best, 18 months, 2 years. And I think that we're going to see the best is yet to come for Emily, but she kind of just reached the end of, you know, the rounds were really challenging, and she got that little cue. She fought for the little cue, and I think it takes a lot out of your legs, and she probably wasn't used to the rounds after not doing it for so many
still
years.
A win for the year. Elise Cranny, you know, did her absolute best to hold on to that front pack as long as possible. Unfortunately, you know, so yeah, it's probably not what she wanted, but she just lost contact really early. She ended up finishing ninth, just outside health insurance. And Carissa Schweizer, you know, probably the one that most people were thinking had that outside shot of a medal, just came up limp. And all of a sudden, with a few laps to go, she was in that pack, and her stride looked totally different than it ever has looked before. And she tried her absolute best to get around. She had two laps to go, and she was limping. And it basically got to the point where she couldn't even walk on it. And she, I think, was helped off and then eventually was taken away in a wheelchair. And it was really medical as a calf strain. Hopefully she's okay, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's just super disappointing. Carissa had, you know, she had the Achilles surgery. She's fought back to just an incredible level of fitness. And I truly thought, you know, this could have been Carissa's, a great opportunity from her. She has the fastest PB in the field from the Americans, I believe. And she's just, I think she has what it takes to sneak into those global medals one day. She has so much speed. We saw her, you know, she almost made three teams for Team USA. She made 5K, 10K, and she almost made the 1500 meter team. So she does have that speed at the end. So that's why I was so disappointed, because, you know, she closed USA's in that 425 last 1600. And to not get to use that with a calf strain, it just sucks. And it's really disappointing. And I think that we'll just send our healing thoughts out to Carissa, because she had a ton of fans here.
Yeah.
You know, she's grown the home, a second home in Oregon. And I know that she'll be back in Budapest with a vengeance. Injured is not where we want to see Chris in the future.
Well, then up front, you know, I had eyes on Lesenbet Gede coming off that 10K victory, but it didn't come to fruition for her, but it did. We had some nice redemption for Sige, who was doubling back after that 1500 in which she was up front pushing the pace aggressively. And, you know, she was going head to head with her Ethiopian teammate, Dewitt Sayem, who had beat her, I believe, earlier in the season in Oslo, in which they both ran really fast. But then the one Kenyan who was in there trying to break it up was Beatrice Chebet, the world cross country champion. And, you know, it's interesting.
I was surprised where Gede finished. That was the surprising one.
That was the most surprising part, just because she had such a great close in the 10K. She's the world record holder in the five, I believe, still.
It was really a blanket finish, though. But, you know, when you're having that many women at the end, and I think it's that 240 in the front, left them all feeling pretty fresh from my perspective. I mean, how fresh can you possibly be when you cut down that rapidly? But, yeah, I think not seeing Gede take it was odd to me.
It was interesting, though, because in that last 100, even though they were really tight and they finished next to each other, felt like Sige had it the entire time through and through.
I feel like she was almost looking around to a certain point where she knew she had in that final straightaway.
She was doing, like, she was in control still, even though
it wasn't
100.
A Jakob type prelim of hyping up the crowd to a certain extent, but I feel like she knew she had it.
But then we had some interesting things happen after. I'll see if Chris, are you available to come back on and tell us what happened immediately upon finishing?
Yeah, we need
Big J. Big J coming in with the 5K analysis.
Here we go.
Well, sometimes, like, you get that itch, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I gotta go ask some questions. It was wild. All right, so describe, set the scene for what exactly happened there.
So,
say where we are. Where we're sitting from the perspective.
We're sitting very close to the finish line, like almost as the athletes run through. They're basically in front of us, and I mean, the Ethiopian crowd is going wild. Their athletes just went 1-3. The athletes were really excited. Gede, you know, finished fifth, but she already has a gold medal, and so she's so pumped. Happy for her teammates.
And then we had, you know, the tunnel separates our section from this Ethiopian fan section as well. They're going crazy. The flags are flying.
And then, Chris, what happened? I hope you studied up on your geopolitical affairs.
Well, no, see, like, I can't go into too deep of detail on it. Like, we're that's basically why I missed the first part of the show, is I was like sitting back there making sure that like what I was sharing on the Sidious Mag Instagram account was right, because like I tweeted videos of what exactly happened. So as soon as the race ends, we get this moment that is kind of like, we've seen this many times in other sports, like fans running onto the field, or sometimes a fan. I remember with the Mets a couple of years ago when they had their first ever no-hitter with Johan Santana, there was a fan who just like jumped into the celebration, and it was similar to what we had today. And a fan runs out onto the track shortly after the race finishes, and he's holding a Tigray flag, and he runs out and goes and kisses the feet of Letesia Gide, which from the outside looking in, that might be a little bit weird, right? But in the Ethiopian culture, it's not. It's actually like a big, you know, sign of respect. And then after that, he picks up Gide, and like she is some, you could kind of see in the photos that we shared on our Instagram, like she cracks a smile there.
It's unclear whether or not they actually know each other at this point, or if it's right. A fan, or is it...
At this point, like, it happens so fast that, you know, many times we see these athletes cross the finish line and they're handed a flag by someone who's on, like, their, you know, national team staff. And so there's somewhat of that. You have to also remember, like, there's security at Hayward Field, but there's also, like, a bunch of volunteers. And so, like, they don't really know who's, like... credentialed and who's cleared for what areas. Like,
no one is credentialed though to run out to the track like that and lift up.
If you have one of those infinity symbols, yeah. I think you're allowed to do anything now.
So then the guy after that picks up Gudaf Sagai, and very soon after it starts to hit all of the security and the, you know, officials that
we don't know this guy.
This guy shouldn't be here. And so he's running around waving the Tigray flag, kind of starts to see that security's chasing after him. He makes a run for it. Not that far.
To the high jump pit.
He got stuffed by the high jump pit. He did.
Pit, yeah.
And I was also wondering, I was like, there is a javelin competition going on right now. Like,
my
let's,
idea.
Let's not run off too far. So...
we got a photo on the screen.
Gets taken away from by security. So that's like just as far as he made it. And then security escorts him to the tunnel where he's just kind of seen on his knees, but he's smiling. And as he's being taken into the tunnel, we overheard him say, like, I did it. And so we give it a couple moments Mac and I peek over and we see the guy still, on his knees with the security guard. And I guess what happened next was fairly unclear to many people, because also on the broadcast, people were like, they weren't really addressing it because they didn't quite know like who this was. So then I see that he gets back into the stands. They let him in, which... some people are like, whoa, that's weird. Like, this guy just went up to the athletes. And, but he harmlessly, I guess, walks back to the fan section that he's with, where there's a couple Ethiopian flags, but a lot of people decked out in Tigray colors. And then he's making his way up to the top. And that's when it just gets into me. I was like, I got to talk to this guy. Like, I want to find out, like, what his deal is. Because for me, like, in 2016, this happened as well. Like, it was at the Olympics. Faiza Lelisa crosses his arms right before he takes the silver medal at the Rio Olympics, and in his press conference takes the time to talk about how the Oromo people were being, kind of massacred, and there was this conflict out there. So similarly enough, like, I have kind of, you know, from that story, followed a couple people on Instagram and Twitter that have shared somewhat of what has been happening in Ethiopia. So it really takes a turn, and I have this article in front of me that maybe is going to help me kind of explain some of this. In November 2020, Global, this is from hrw.org. Okay, let's see how it's a Human Rights Watch. And so in November 2020, global attention turned to the outbreak of conflict in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region between Ethiopian government forces and its allies, against Tigrayan forces. The fighting followed a year of growing political tensions between the Ethiopian federal government and Tigray's regional authorities, the Tigray People's Liberation Front. And, you know, kind of goes on that there's, you know, serious violations of international humanitarian law. Things are getting pretty bad. People are dying. And there's this conflict. So it's really complex. So there's an article on World Athletics's website that's written by Hannah Bornstein, who's like kind of the go-to person, I would say, for, you know, like an American's insight into what is happening in Ethiopia. And so there was all these people now after that happens protesting on the concourse at Hayward Field, and it was getting really loud. And there was just, you know, but people were also holding up signs and posters, and very easily, you know, accessible for people to go and take photos with them because they want to get this message out there to as many people as possible. So then I start shuffling over, and this is the point where Mac is probably yelling like, "Big J, Big J," so I can go and, you know, rust off the journalism bones here a little bit. And I talked to him, and I actually, you know, have the interview here for you guys to hear who exactly was this guy, what happened, and getting, you know, his message out there. Even though, like, they're to fully understand this, I would recommend people just kind of go out and do some further reading as to what is happening, because this is obviously one side of things.
But let's also preface by saying we don't endorse the ability to run out on the track,
right,
and, you know,
yeah,
go up to the athletes immediately upon finishing.
No, of
that's
course
important
not. Yeah. So I asked him first off, like, who are you? One sec as we get the audio to load here.
I also went over in the stadium in the concourse because it was getting very loud, and there was a large group of people celebrating and dancing, you know, in Ethiopian flags, and then the Tigrayan flag population also came over.
Here
my
is.
My name is Mark. So I just been voice for the voiceless. Right now, when me and you speaking, there's genocide going on in my country, which is that's what represents this one. And both the athletes are from my country, specific from my area. So they're not able to see their family, their sisters, their fathers. So I'm just telling them, you're okay, you're good, you did this. So there is no internet, there is no phone, there is no, those athletes, they de-escalated their family. So I'm just being here to support and be voice for the voiceless. That's all. Not trying to be famous or something. Just to be a voice for the voiceless.
This is the Tigray conflict.
Yes, I'm from Tigray.
And in that race, Letesebet and Gudaf are both Tigray, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so for the people who might not be as familiar, they haven't been able to see their families for like the last couple of years, is that right?
Yes, right. Right.
And so where did the idea to do this come from?
It just came to me. I didn't plan it. I mean, I was working so hard when this is happening, you know, trying to support my family, my people, but I never get a chance to be a voice, you know? And I see this is a good chance, you know, to let the world know, you know? So, especially for them, you know, they cannot speak, they cannot say whatever they want on the media because, you know, they're athletes, right? So, that's what I was trying to do.
So you ran out there, what did you do? What was the first thing you did?
I kissed her feet.
Why?
She deserved that. I kissed her feet on behalf of the whole Tigrayan people. Because they're not able to see her as well. You understand? So for her being Tigray and winning this all gold medals, you know, she deserves, it's like a message from the people to her. Okay? So make sure you got it right.
Why is this a little emotional for you?
Like I said, it's very emotional because when we're speaking, there is people dying right there, over there, right now, at this moment. That's why it's very emotional. I cannot even explain. I don't have a word to explain everything that's happening back home. So that's all.
And so then you get taken away, they put you down in the tunnel. What happened there?
I just jumped. I jumped and I start running. all I want is to kiss her feet, and then that happened. You know, I try to stay over there as much as I can. They chase me, they cut me, and they've been nice to me. They let me go. So.
Did they give you a warning or something? What happened?
Yeah, they say, I used to live here in Oregon, so I told them my story. You know, I came from Texas all the way here for the event, so.
Just for this race?
Just for this race.
You made it work. You made it work.
Yes, sir.
It was, and then from there, like, I went and talked to a couple more people just to kind of get a general idea of what exactly was happening. And they mentioned it, and he kind of touches on it, that there was, like, they don't have access to, you know, their families back at home, because there's also been, like, this blackout period where there's no, you know, Wi-Fi phone connections happening in sort of certain regions. And so these athletes that we see at the World Championships have been disconnected from their families for a very long time. And then in addition to that, someone like, you know, Guide has, like, in the past, I think, like, once somewhat spoken out or mentioned where she's from. And then there was just, it got really, I don't know, like, she couldn't go back to you know, where her home is in Ethiopia. She's actually, I believe, been training in Kenya the past couple, ever since, like, 2020 or 2021 or something like that. So, so, I mean, like, these athletes, like, they just can't, they really can't speak about this. And there's another video, actually, that Let's Run, I think, just shared, when Sagai comes into the mix zone and is asked about this, and because her English isn't as strong, there's a translator with her, and the translator doesn't even allow the question to be, you know, asked, and just kind of, you know, shoos her away to the next sort of, you know, section in the media. So I don't think this is the last time you'll hear of this story, and, you know, it just kind of makes everyone remember that there's, you know, this is bigger than sports sometimes, and, like, these athletes represent a lot more than just the flag that they're bearing and sponsors and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, small town Eugene, Oregon, I think we've been here a lot this year. And to have the world come to Eugene, I think sometimes we kind of forget how far they've come from, how, you know, there's a lot of small countries who are underrepresented as well. So it's good to take a moment between all the glory and medals and everything and just recognize that, you know, well, we have a team in the U.S. that's very well supported and strong, and we have the freedom of speech as well. Not all countries have that. So, yeah, thank you, Chris, for, you know, getting into it, and we'll learn more and hopefully be able to share more about the story moving forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I put out a tweet with Hannah's story, so you guys can go also, like, check it out. And yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to educate yourself, like, in the process of, like, I was like, oh, I went to a track meet today and I learned so much more. Yeah. How about that race?
All right.
All right. So what else we got?
The 800.
The 800.
How do we follow that up? We have to shift gears somehow now.
Well, I lost money on the 800.
All right. So. Here's the men's 800.
Whoa!
Oh, my God!
I swear! What is going on?
I called it!
Oh, my God!
What? I told you, man!
Kyle!
Kyle!
You said it was wide open! I said it's not wide open!
You were so prepared, and I love it! Why didn't I have a jersey?
My boy, 2017 NCAA champ, 6 fastest all time, 44.2 open 400, negative split 143.
I am scared.
Yo! I love it.
I am scared. Kyle,
this is
away.
Ferguson Rotich's jersey.
Kyle.
Kyle's been in the gym. Look at those muscles, you guys.
I don't know if he's been in the gym.
He's been to the Sidious Mag morning runs. Be there.
It was a good 800.
One more run to go.
It was, that 800 was very, very fast, which is what you want to see in a championship 800.
Yes.
And I really appreciate the boys getting it after it. And yeah. So does Kyle.
What do you guys?
I did bet on him. I put some money down beforehand.
How much did
he was
you
like
make?
Plus 350 or something. I have the biggest bet I've made so far was $10, and I put it down on him.
What do you guys call it? Like making stuff like an honest race? That's like a distance term or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what Marco A-Rob made that a very honest race.
He wasn't on an island by himself.
No islands. Yeah. I don't think there weren't too many people on an island. It was, they were one big
there was continent. No island.
There was, no continent at all on that 800.
And then unfortunately, Marco, I was hoping that he got first because I was
me too.
Canadian first.
I had money on him.
Canadian friends. But unfortunately, Chris has lost out on money and I am sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's bad for Sidious when Chris loses money. It's all ships going down.
Yeah. When
we are falling apart here.
When I think the most interesting thing that stood out to me about this race was the Algerians. We had two Algerians make the final, and we really don't know a whole lot about them. And one of them, Jamel Sajadi.
He only has his first.
This is
result.
Pretty inspiring, right?
Inspiring. The first result that he has on World Athletics was last year. I have to assume he raced. I can't imagine he started running last year, but in his first.
Oh, who knows? It could be possible.
His first 800 ever was last year, and he ran 145, and now he is the world championship.
Wow, so
that is insane.
That is pretty insane.
Nuts!
Some may say unbelievable.
I can't snap.
Yeah.
And so.
I'm dying. I broke it.
How old is
tweeting.
He? 23?
23.
Yeah.
So we're going to be seeing this guy for a while.
They came through in 52, and I was like,
maybe.
You know, they negative split. Everyone ran very fast considering. And, you know, overall, it was a really good race. A-Rop was holding it down, but Courier just looked so composed and was just waiting and waiting and waiting. I do think our fourth place finisher, Emmanuel Wignoni, is someone from Kenya that we're going to keep a very, very close eye out on. He ran 143.5 to win the Kenyan trials.
Then Nairobi at altitude?
Yeah, and then it came in fourth here. So just, you know, Kenya's got a 3 in the final. It's too bad there's no 4x8.
Does Kenya have the best kit of the meet? Looking at this picture.
I know, I should have got that one.
I mean,
yeah, you should have got that one.
They upgraded from when you got that one.
This is completely like, you want to ask that question. I personally think Liberia has the best uniform. I don't know if it's in their men and women's, but top tier, USA, take notes, wink, wink. All right, back to the.
Do you have a Telfar bag?
I do not have a Telfeezy.
We'll get there. One day.
So, I mean, like, this race kind of like, from like the American perspective, it's hard to get up for it. Like, we want a horse in this one, and like we didn't. And so the interesting theory that, you know, Kyle and I were texting somebody, I don't know if they'd be okay with us sharing their name, just kind of a theory to think about after we, you know, the US trials for this championships was not that long ago, and it maybe had an impact on, you know, how athletes peak for that race, and then, you know, coming into this race, you know, to try and peak again, that it may be too close. And so is there, you know, concern when it comes to the American women now, although they're like, they've all made the final, a thing is just really, really good. And so is, you know, Ajay, but for them to put together like top tier races while other athletes like, you know, a Mary Mora or somebody like even Keely might be coming in with less, you know, kind of impact, less hard 800s under them. So I mean, Kyle, what did you make of it?
Of this 800, I think
of the theory of like,
I mean, I don't really. I think it's okay in the 800 to race hard a few weeks ago. I do think that overall, something that you were saying was like the lack of American presence in here. I feel like the stadium wasn't as into the race as they should have been, especially given that there were two NCAA athletes and on the podium.
The stadium tonight too, I think, was kind of waiting for the main event of the 4x100 all night. You can get that sense too, because we also had finals in the triple jump and the javelin as well. Yeah. So, you know, those field events were out there and kind of went off without a lot of like pomp and circumstance to them towards some other races. So switching over, like, you know, the javelin throw.
The javelin.
It's such a incredible event.
I cannot believe how, and it's often done outside the stadium, but every time I watch it in, it's like that was a missile today.
Yeah. It's pretty scary.
Mind blowing. I thought it was going to go into the stands like at one point, because I'm like watching it and you just hear, and I'm like, Kyle's dream is going to come true.
His dreams are going to come true from yesterday.
I didn't hear about the dream, but
Dana.
They
the
have
two
this
people
plan.
You're sitting in front of.
We have some ideas.
They're dark souls.
Yeah,
they got some crazy ideas going on over
well,
there.
Chris is just relaxing like he didn't just say the craziest thing last night.
What? Our javelin ideas. Just...
I'm not going for that. All right. Anderson Peters
I'm so tired.
Takes the win from, I can't remember how to pronounce this. Grenada. On the last throw.
He was definitely the favorite going in. Yes. Even though Chopra...
Yeah, I made money on him. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're back. Even though Chopra is the Olympic champion...
A fan favorite of Sidious Mag.
Yeah. The Peters has just been throwing the best this year, and he came and he delivered. I mean, he had multiple, I think, two or three throws over 90. Someone can check me on that if they need to. So,
Three.
So, you know, he won this competition handily, but Chopra... He's on the up and ups. His personal best he had set earlier this season. Following up, I think we forget how big of an upset it was for him to win the Olympics. And then in third from the Czech Republic, we had Jakub Vedlec.
Do you have the video up? The pronunciation video?
That's just for Ethiopian.
They did themselves. Every country should do it for their own athletes.
Honestly, they really should.
Jasmine.
Yes.
It's your time to shine.
This is my time to shine.
Men's triple jump final.
It was so cold out there for them. I'm not even going to lie. It wasn't great weather.
Really?
This competition was not as exciting as I was hoping for it to be. Unfortunately, we were missing our reigning world championship, Christian Taylor, due to the circumstances, which we all understand, him coming back from his Achilles. Pedro, he did what we all expected him to do. That was kind of a favorite coming in. He handled business. He won with the 1795. off that first one. And honestly, I mean, with the PB of 1808, I was expecting it to be a little bit more hot for everybody. We had one American that made it in, Donald Scott. Shout out to you, Donald. But we also, I do really want to highlight that we did have a Oregon duck. You know, I'm a duck, so I got to shout out Emmanuel.
Quack.
He's from Italy. I don't know if you guys heard the announcer say quack, quack while he was jumping. I thought that was the funniest and cutest thing ever. Because it was just so random
home
as she announced
advantage,
that.
Home field advantage, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, that home field advantage. And to be from another country and quack, still quack. Get that love, quack, quack, quack. Emmanuel. Finishing fifth as a collegiate, I think that's remarkable. I think any collegiate that comes into this world championship placing, absolutely amazing. Fabrice finishing second, I think that was another, honestly, this triple jump kind of played out the way that we expected it to.
Moving on to the decathlon, I guess there was one big call out, right, Dana?
Yeah, the most notable event.
Actually, there was two big, go on, the 400.
Yeah, in the 400, Damian Warner, really sad to see, pulls up, you know, typical hamstring it looked like. Just so disappointing to see, you know, such.
One of the favorite,
the heaviest favorite.
Yeah.
And it you never want to see an athlete's competition end that way.
That was heartbreaking.
It really is heartbreaking, and I think, you know, he was supposed to compete in the Commonwealth Games. I can't compete.
Well, yeah, we'll see how he recovers after this.
So we'll see. But so that's just your call.
Talk about that fastest.
Ooh, Aiden. Ooh. Aiden, you watch.
Oh, Aiden, our college correspondent.
Yeah. And I've been watching you all season, boy. And for whatever reason, you just keep pulling it out of your butt on the last event every single day. And I just literally, we'd be watching, and I'm like, he just ran like four different events, or like seven or whatever, however many different events before whatever huge PR he just drops. Do you know how wild it is to run a 45-0 for a decathlete? I mean, he was like a crucial part of Arkansas's like 4x4, but.
Like, that was sickening. That was absolutely amazing to watch. I loved his energy after. If I was competing against him, it really was hard. If I'm competing against him the next day, I'm probably a little like, ooh.
What can he do in the native?
What? 1,500.
Well, he can run distance.
He can run all of it. Like, that's why he's so good at what he do, because he can do everything.
And he's got that energy coming in to day two. Like, he's so hyped. He's so ready. So I'm excited. I'm actually so excited to see what he does tomorrow.
Woo pig suey.
Before we
something like that.
Before we get to our final segment, which David is now back. 4x4s. U.S. men, U.S. women, just kind of cruise and do their thing.
Yeah, where did Allison come from? You know, I can tell you where she came from. She was sitting at home having a root beer float and I think eating some hot wings.
Some wings.
Got the call up. She's on a flight back here. Some people. She was home. She was home.
Yeah, she was at the ESPYs.
She was in LA.
I didn't even know that.
No, yo, like you for real?
For real.
She flew back in.
Yeah,
she's been on a 7-day bender.
Team captain, team captain.
Go watch the other podcast.
Tom Brady, Allison Felix coming out of retirement. Can't do it. But some people, I have to say, are a little salty on Twitter about Allison coming back.
Well, they can shut up. I think like she was the fastest leg of the whole season.
Well, they're only salty because they're like, she doesn't need another medal.
I mean, I'm like, I think one more, 2020 did what they needed to do in order to have somebody come in, and who better to call than Allison Felix? She came, she proved herself. Allison, you know what? I can't trust you anymore. I don't think you're retiring.
She pulled a Tom Brady on us like two times.
Is she going to be in the final?
I was there in the mix zone. She was asked if she was going to be in the final, and she said, no, I was asked to be here for the prelim. I will not be in the
final. That's what she said about the mix 4x4, and then what she do? She came back.
Actually, probably like Abby Steiner's an option to replace her.
That's what I said.
All right, David. All right, everybody, get ready for Melly's Mix Zone Report. David, you can come and take my seat.
All right.
Well, I spoke to Abby Steiner literally moments ago.
Go Wildcats!
David likes Sean the Bull Tag.
Baby.
But yes, did you see those shorts? Great Tracksmith shorts. So there we go. Show it again. Give us a spin.
All right. That's a lot of legs.
You've been in the gym. David's been in the gym.
Much like Michael Norman.
There we go.
Yes. I sized down for the show. So.
Oh,
I love it.
We love to see it.
Anyways. No, the most interesting part of Abby's interview was that she was asked at the end, well, I asked her, are you done at the end of a long season? And I actually meant like, are you doing Diamond Leagues? Like, are you done? You know? And she's like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next. Also, I don't know what's going to happen for the 4x4.
I said that.
She did.
Then
she
someone
did.
Else followed up and said, you know, have you heard anything from Team USA or the coaches? And she said she hadn't heard anything. What, you know, whether or not that's true.
Trevor didn't hear anything either. And we just walked through it. I'm like, Trevor!
Trevor didn't hear anything either.
So she knows it's an option. She doesn't know yet whether she will be on the relay tomorrow.
Fly home, Abby.
Well, also, I'm like, you know, if she's about to
no
get...
No wild duck for
yeah,
you, go, Abby.
If,
yeah,
if she's don't headed to Denny's tonight, you know, someone should stop her.
Like, everyone stop her. If you see Abby out and about, send her back to the hotel.
Yeah, and then, you know, just to... I'll very quickly mix on report, because there wasn't a ton. You know, Elaine, I think Elaine Thompson, her was in there, talked about she's had a lot of injuries this year. And so she was basically like, I got out of there with two medals. I'm pretty grateful. You know, Shelly Ann, just, you know, talk about when Rye runs for president of the U.S., she should run for president of Jamaica, because she's got that politician voice. You know, she knows how to, like, give the perfect answer. And so she talked about, you know, we're grateful to get a medal. You know, we obviously wanted the world record. We wanted to win. She was pretty bummed that that not everybody's coming back for the Commonwealth Games. It sounds like she is, but maybe other people aren't. And she also, you know, talked about she's like, we could have dropped the baton and we didn't. And she did say, interestingly, she was kind of bemoaning the lack of a relay camp on Team Jamaica. Which was interesting, because we complain about that here often. And she was saying that you know, she was basically like, the Federation hasn't done it. I wish they would. And then she also said it was really tough to practice during the week, because all three of the medalists were doubling in both the 100 and the 200. Yeah. So, you know, they're racing every day. Like, they're not going to have time to do handoffs. So she kind of had some interesting perspective. And then Shiriko walked right on past the zone where she was asked yesterday. You know, I think, honestly, I kind of don't blame her, you know, after everything. And then obviously Team USA was super happy. You know, it was great seeing TT and Melissa were like on top of the world, and they were just thrilled to be there. And obviously, you know, Jenna and Abby were as well. And then the men were a little more reserved. Like they, I think, they got kind of hustled off pretty quickly once they started talking to us. And you know, Noah was the one kind of for Team USA on the men's side who said, like, you know, we're grateful to come out away with a medal after losing Fred, after, you know, everything that's happened in previous years, you know. So he was kind of the practical one. There was some interesting, you know, we'll upload the full video to YouTube literally momentarily. But there was some interesting kind of talk about the way that the order and decisions about the relays are made. Because Marvin kind of alluded to perhaps that they've shared opinions with the relay coaches that were not shared by the coaches themselves, you know. And I asked him, you know, how does you know, do they take your input? Do they ask you guys what you want to do? And the answer was sort of like, well, you know, they listen to our input. so I do wonder if some of those decisions about, you know, who runs what legs and who, you know, who's running the prelims and all those are. Frankly, I think it would probably behoove Team USA to have the athletes have way more of a say in the process, since they know their bodies and they know what they're capable of, you know, better than somebody who is, you know, technically your coach, but like might have never met you until this week, you know. So it was interesting, you know. They definitely were not thrilled. They were not like, you know, they were talking to the media. They were holding it together. They weren't like completely pissed or bummed out, but
Jasmine's itching.
Why are you guys laughing?
Huh? Mind your guys' business over there. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then.
Goodness gracious. Did we
lose Chris entirely?
Goodness.
Chris, you come back?
We can't see it so bright.
I think we're wrapping up.
We're wrapping up.
These lights are so bright.
Up. I'm not professional.
No, I got
we,
this.
We but kind of got it.
I think David can do this.
Yeah, David, thank send us off.
No, we have an important thing to talk about.
Important thing?
You owe us 5 goats.
Oh. Yes.
I could go out in the backyard and get some.
No. You were supposed to tell you're supposed to come prepared with a list of your 5.
Yeah, where's
greatest.
Your list at? She has one more dead.
They don't have to be in order, but we need 5.
In no particular order.
All right, let's hear it.
And I feel like a lot of these people could, you know, there's a lot of people that could be
there's
in the top 5.
There's a lot of great athletes.
Okay. So I'm gonna say start off with Mama Allison, self-explanatory. Our good friend Michael Johnson. Self-explanatory. Our good friend, who else stopped by the house?
Maurice Green.
Oh, our good friend Maurice stopped by the house. Ashton Eaton also stopped by the house.
Yeah.
Good friend of ours, completely unbiased list. And Sydney McLaughlin. So I'm hoping that since I've named her, she will also stop by the house.
Yeah, this is Rye Benjamin Erasure.
What if she stopped by the house and we didn't put her on camera? We just kind of hung out with her.
Little do you know who we don't put on camera. You know, we had some people that could have been guests.
Sydney's sleeping in the spare room. We didn't tell you guys.
Yeah, like actually, and I heard like Shelly's upstairs too. So like, yeah. But we are shellfish. We don't like to share. So.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in for day 9 of Champs Chats. Special thank you to Tracksmith. Remember to use code WORLDS for 20% at checkoff. Oh, the Hayward magic moment of the night for everyone.
Oh my goodness. Come to me last.
Can we make a group decision that was the women's 4x1?
But
no? Okay. You guys don't want that?
I mean, I like that, but if we was all trying to be different, then I was going to say Aiden's 400.
Yeah. I would say that by virtue of a strange twist of events, I was late to the stadium, and one of the craziest things I've ever heard was knowing exactly when Allison Felix is running her leg based on how loud the cheers got. That's from cool. 3 blocks away.
I'm going to rep my man, Emmanuel Courier, taking home the dub.
Oh, God.
Dang, I was thinking, but you know what? Y'all know I'm a big Jenna Prandini fan, so I got to go with the 4x1 and specifically
4x1.
Watching her leg.
All right, then I'm taking Abby Steiner's leg because that's Steiner power. Steiner speed, baby.
Yeah.
Use code WORLDS. Thanks so much. We love track and field.
We love track and field. You track nice.
I actually freaking love track and field. Shut up, Chris.
And we're...